Yes, Alfred?
To the bat phone, sir.
Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
It's Batman!
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to episode 104 of Batmania 66. I just looked this up. 105 of Batmania 66. We are putting a hold on 104. Because we're trying to get an extra special guest who requested that episode in particular. So if you feel like you've missed one, you have not. We skipped it. So keep listening and we'll come back. But this episode is 105, The Londinium Larcenies.
Yep.
This episode takes place, strangely enough, in Londinium, which is the Gotham version of
London.
Oh, I got that. Oh, I just got that. Okay, that's good. Yeah. When our episode begins, Lord Fogg and Lady Peasoup are robbing Chuckingham Palace.
Oh, I missed Chuckingham Palace.
Wow. Yeah, there's a lot of almost British stuff.
So close.
And yet so far. So far. They are stealing Her Majesty's snuff boxes.
Priceless snuff boxes.
Well, they would be. They're Her Majesty's.
Mm.
On Her Majesty's secret snuff box. And, we cut to Commissioner's Gordon. Commissioner's Gordon? As if there's more than one.
The Commissioner's Gordon.
Commissioner Gordon's office. Well, in some Batman stories set in the future, Barbara does become Commissioner of Police. So in those stories, there were Commissioners Gordon.
I like that.
But anyway, we get to Commissioner Gordon's office, and he's on the phone, and he says, "Well, Mr. President, if you want, I'm going to be in Londinium for a conference, and I can take care of it myself." And then he says, "Oh, I'm sorry, you want somebody competent. Yes, of course I'll get Batman."
Yeah.
And we find out that the President and himself, the President, the First Minister of Londinium, and the chief of Ireland Yard have all asked for Batman. So Commissioner Gordon picks up the red phone and calls Stately Wayne Manor, where we find Dick Grayson in a beetle wig.
Okay, first of all, the commish was super creepy when he asked Barbara to go to Londinium with
him. Oh, yeah. Well, this whole episode has a lot of creepy male gaze, I would say.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Sorry, carry on. Oh, Cool It Ringo.
Yep, that's my next note. When Bruce goes to get the phone, he looks at Dick and says, "Cool It Ringo," while Dick is incompetently hammering on a drum set.
Yep.
This is where Bruce, in a true you-don't-say vaudevillian moment, just goes, "The President? The First Minister? Ireland Yard? Londinium?" And then the credits roll.
The credits roll. It was pretty funny.
I was like, it was an effective recap. And then we find them, and they're on... Commissioner Gordon and Barbara are on a ship getting ready to sail to Londinium when Bruce and Dick show up. I guess this is before common transatlantic jet flights, I guess. Because I feel like if they're needed on a case urgently...
A boat isn't the
way
they
could... sailing on a boat wasn't the best way to do it. But they're on the bow of a ship, sailing for a new land. Because in New York, you can be a new man. Just you wait. And they are standing there... And Bruce and Dick show up, and Commissioner Gordon asks, "What are you and young Dick doing on the boat?" And I giggled because I'm a child, and I wrote that there's lots of young Dick on a cruise. I'm not proud of it, but I did it, and I'd do it again. And then they ask if Dick is going to be studying hard. No, Dick says he's going to be studying hard in the Londinium. And, studying hard, Dick, because I'm a child. And then Chief O'Hara shows up because he wants to see if he can see Batman on the boat. because he knows Batman's going. And he says he came to say bon voyage, Begora. That's not a saying.
Not a saying.
But also, why does he care about getting a glimpse of Batman? He sees Batman all the friggin' time.
I don't know.
Because it's not...
He was so excited to give the commissioner that gift basket.
Yeah. I don't get it. But the boat sets sail, and Bruce and Barbara share an absolute total moment about how romantic it is on the ship.
Yeah.
And it seems pretty clear they're at least going to go out on a date while they're on the boat.
Yep.
If not,
I figured they were going to have a date. Boat fling.
Yeah. Boat blinking. Mm-hmm. We forgot to mention, the way that Lord Fogg and Lady Peasoup get away is that Lord Fogg puffs on his pipe and creates man-made fog that lets them escape.
Like you do.
So they are next stealing a priceless, always priceless, Russian Easter eggs. Russian jeweled Easter eggs, excuse me. And again, he starts puffing on his pipe to create fog to get away. To me, it would make more sense if he started puffing on his pipe the moment they walked through the door, because they spend an inordinate amount of time standing still while the room fills up with fog. If they started before they started their snatch and grab, then the room would be filled up with fog by the moment they were done.
I don't know. Their science isn't great. It really isn't.
I don't know why I wrote what in the next one, but...
What?
As in, what?
Oh. I don't know, but that's how they talk this entire episode.
Yes, there was a lot of British going on.
Yes.
But we find out that Bruce rented a place with a dungeon, which, of course, he did. Big old St. Anne's cross on the wall. Hobby horse. And they've unpacked the giant crate they brought with them, which, of course, had the Bat computer and the Batmobile and all that. And Robin says, not a scratch on the Batmobile. Because they would have shit-canned Alfred's ass if he had gotten the Batmobile.
Any kind of scratch on there.
Yep. So they're at Ireland Yard in the superintendent's office. And Ireland Yard is explaining to them again.
What bugs me is that it's a what? Different island.
Yeah.
I get the joke, but...
Yeah. Okay. I get the joke. I just don't like it.
Yeah, that's how I feel about a lot of things. I
understand it. It's just not okay. And the superintendent explains that they're getting away with man-made fog, and Batman uses all of the logic, all of it, to say fog, aftergrass, because apparently that's called fog lawn. Or fog grass. And then they discover that Lord Fogg has the most famous fog lawn in all of Londinium.
Leaps and bounds.
Right. That would be like saying, there's a cat burglar in town. Let's go over after Joe Katz.
Yep.
And Batman tells the Superintendent Watson... that, of course, he doesn't suspect Lord Fogg. He just wants a chance to see his fog lawn because Bruce Wayne has one of the most famous fog lawns in America, and he wants to compare them while he contemplates their ubiquitous, iniquitous enigma.
That's a lot.
How long do you think Batman had been saving that one? Because that's not one you come up with in the moment. That's one you have in your back pocket and you wait until it's the right time to use.
Mm-hmm.
So Superintendent Watson says, that's great. And Lady Penelope Peasoup, has a finishing school that we can tour. And he's super creepy and lecherous about it.
The whole thing is so creepy.
I did notice, though, that in this, in the Batsuit, Bruce looks less paunchy. Did you notice
that? I think he lost some weight.
Yeah, because he's got less of a tummy.
You can see his ribs, too.
Yeah, and he's got much more of a barrel chest than a tummy in this. My next note is that Basil Marmaduke and Penelope's butler. Yeah, his accent is about as convincing as Bert's from Mary Poppins. Oof. Most of the accents in this episode are rough. But they get the tour, and...
Everyone survives the tour.
Everyone survives the tour.
I did not anticipate that.
They keep referring to the students of the finishing school as student bodies. And not the student body as in one whole unit, as in their student bodies and their pretty little student bodies. It's gross. Like, it is. It was meant to be, I think, amusingly lecherous at the time. But even at the time, it had to be just kind of grody.
Super creepy. Can I tell you at the time, an at the time story? I was watching Game Show Network, because I do that frequently, and I watched an old episode of The Match Game.
Oh, dear.
Oh. It was rough. It was racially appropriating.
Ooh.
Rough.
But it wasn't the In the Butt episode?
No.
You know that story, though, right?
Yeah, I think so.
The question was, what's the strangest place you ever made Whoopi?
No, that's the Newlywed Game. That's not the Match Game.
The Match Game is one lady, three suitors, right?
No. The Match Game is the panel of celebrities.
Oh. What game am I thinking of?
The Love Connection? No. That's the Dating Game.
I think you're right. I think it's the Dating Game.
It is a dating game.
No, it's Studs. That's what I'm thinking of. It's Studs. Everybody's favorite video game.
Do you watch Kimmy Schmidt?
I do, but I haven't seen the new ones.
They use actual footage of John Hamm on one of those dating shows. Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't think it was real because his answer is so stupid, and I found out last night that is real footage.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Maybe afterwards we'll look up that clip.
Sorry.
Carry on.
I want to know what the racially insensitive thing was. Tell me so that I can crop it out and make you sound horrible.
No, I'm not going to do that. They were just doing an impression of an Asian American person, and it just kept going. Like, they just kept answering things like that. Even after the question had moved on, they started talking like that again.
Because it was so funny that they had to keep using it as a running gag, right?
Exactly, because switching L's and R's is the funniest damn thing you ever heard.
Yeah, it's really clever humor.
TV was so new.
It worked on...
So new.
It worked in Avenue Q.
Scott gets upset when I sing those songs. When I sing Christmas Eve songs.
Oh, dear. Dear, oh, dear.
I wasn't doing it on national TV.
And you can't wait to politely invite her to dinner again.
That's right.
So, Pretty Little Student Bodies.
Ugh.
Barbara very smoothly and inconspicuously goes, I need to call a friend that might live in town now.
Yeah, stranger danger is what Barbara did.
And she goes to the phone while Basil is creeping on her. She waits until Basil leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And she just asks directory assistance for the temporary names, and calls the house that Bruce is renting straight away. And Alfred goes, how did you find me? And she's like, I'll tell you later. I called directory assistance. She didn't do detective work.
Yeah.
That would be like Domino's Pizza going, how did you get this number?
Exactly.
And so while that's going on, Dick is getting a private tour of the grounds from Marmaduke's daughter, who's one of the students at the finishing school.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the girls in the finishing school, I mean, it's a Robin, not Dick. It's because it's Batman and Robin.
Yeah, it's Robin.
And all of the other girls are pining over Robin. And they're jealous over Marmaduke's daughter. And they say, I hope she isn't talking too much. And we cut to her and Robin and her saying, I hope I'm not talking too much.
That was awful.
It would have been a good joke if it had been better acted and or edited.
I don't know.
You know what it needed? It would
some
have
racial appropriation. Yeah.
It would have worked if it wasn't a straight cut. If they had done one of the Batman wipes, one of the da-na-na, and then it had cut to her doing that,
yeah,
it would have been brilliant.
Well, and that's kind of the da-na-na shows time passing.
Yeah, but also it implies that something dramatic is about to happen.
Yeah.
So if they had done that and then they had faked it out with... I hope I'm not talking too much. It would have been a good gag.
Yeah. Benton, go back in time.
Yes. When I'll make sure that Annie knows that when she's continuity manager.
Yes.
And we get there and... Oh, sorry. We get there. We're already there.
We're there.
They're talking and she explains what the girls really do, which is... They get their MS degree, which sounds like a shaky degree to have. And
I thought it was more of a joke, like they, you know, when they say women go to college to get their MRS degree.
MRS?
Their Mrs.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But she says it's a Master of
Shoplifting.
Thank you. And. She explains that they just learn how to shoplift. But she also says greavy instead of groovy.
Yeah, that's, she's not the only person to say
I know.
That.
It happens again.
Which I think that's supposed to be a joke.
Yeah, because British people said groovy.
Yeah.
But groovy is in reference to being in the groove, which is a reference to records. Do you think that being greavy means you're in the grieving process? Yeah. Hey, hey.
I'm going to send you a text that says I'm feeling really grievy today. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to get dark. My dad just died. I'm really grievy today.
You look like you're feeling pretty grievy.
Yeah. The worst Paul Simon song ever. Slow down. You're mourning too fast. You got to let the...
No. Just stop it. Just stop it.
Come on. It's got to be there.
No. Carry on.
Hello, graveyard. What you knowin'?
Hello, graveyard, my old friend.
Tantalizing transfer. Oh, okay. So.
Can I say that it's weird to see like a regular house that kind of looks like Wayne Manor at a Dutch angle?
Yeah.
It was really disturbing.
Yeah, because every time we're in Lord Fogg's house, they do the Dutch angle.
Yeah.
And it just. Yeah. In actual lairs that look like lairs, we've come to expect it. In the house, it just looks like things should be sliding off the shelves.
I don't even see it when it's an actual lair. I'm like, that's just what this looks like.
Yeah.
But when it looks like Wayne Manor, I'm like, this is confusing and
uncomfortable. Zoning rules require that every bad guy lair is built on a 45-degree angle. That's
true, that's fine. That is just the Gotham way. Carry on.
It is the American way. Sam, we're in Londinium. But this is where Alfred pulls up outside in a taxi that he borrowed from his cousin and gives Barbara her Batgirl case, which, again, inconspicuously has a bat symbol on the clasp.
Also, sidebar, I want that suitcase.
Oh, I would get that suitcase in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And they go out to the middle of nowhere, and Barbara ditches behind a bush to start changing.
Sets her hat on one of the bush, limbs. Yeah. It was very cute. That was adorable.
It was cute until the narrator describes her as starting her tantalizing transformation, and then it got creepy.
Oh, creepy? I blocked that out.
Yeah.
Also because the narrator is just a dude behind a different bush.
No, clearly he's behind the same bush. That's
the name of my
biography. But I know what bush he wants to be behind. And they, that was a dirty joke.
Yeah, no, I said at the same time that that's the name of my autobiography.
What, Behind the Bush?
Yeah. Also behind the same bushes.
Ah, gotcha.
Okay, yeah.
About your, lesbian experimentation?
Mm-hmm.
Experimentation. I'm gonna need about 15 minutes to discover whether or not I can say that word correctly or reliably. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't say that correctly, reliably. Okay, we're done. Done. This is when Batman and Robin get jumped by three hooligans.
Yep.
That look exactly like an undisguised version of the three male henchmen, servants from Lord and Lady, Lord Fogg and Lady Penelope's mansion.
They also look like the goons from... 101 Dalmatians.
Don't all British people look like that?
I think they might.
And this is when we have our onomatopoeia fight.
Ooh. Splat, crash, pow, biff, bam, whack, wham, zowie, zap, sock, kapow, crunch. There's a lot.
Yep. Most of those belong to Batgirl.
Many of them.
And what I liked about this fight is when they were using the breakaway pieces of wood from the street things, they were really smacking each other. Mm-hmm. Like, they broke against other people.
Yeah. Like, sides of heads.
Yeah, it looked pretty good. It was a good fight. While the fight is going on, one of the hench people puts a little device inside the glove box of the Batmobile. I thought it was a tracking device. We'll find out in a moment that it was not, in fact, a tracking device.
Yeah.
Although that would have been smarter. But Batgirl disappears again. Keep in mind,
Julie walks away.
She does not have a vehicle.
I'm sure Alfred's waiting for her somewhere.
Yeah, but I'm just saying she couldn't have, like, hopped on her bike and driven away.
She casually walks
away. Yeah, exactly.
And she always casually walks away.
And Batman and Robin says, why don't we just go get Lord Fogg right now? And Batman says, no, we must regroup and collect our thoughts to the Londinium Batcave. So they go, and they go back to the Londinium Batcave, and they get into the Batcave, and the little device inside the glove box goes off, and Fogg starts filling the Batcave.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the end of the episode.
Yes.
The narrator acts like that fog will destroy us all when we've seen nothing anywhere in this episode that says the fog is even remotely dangerous.
No, people just walk through it.
It's a mild inconvenience at best.
Yeah.
But that is the end of the first part of this three-part episode. Yes, that will go on for 7 years as well. And dibs on being the movie star.
Okay. I'm going to be the professor.
No, you're the rest.
Because of my sweet abs. Like, he's part of the rest.
Well played.
Thank you.
And they pipe down Grumby. I know. Grumby's the skipper.
Yeah.
The episode ends. And we will have episode 106, The Foggiest Nation, coming up at some point soon, where we'll get to the mid part of this episode and hopefully have a guest who's very annoyed that they came in with no beginning and they get no end. But if you want to follow us, we are on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Batmania66. Or you can follow Holly at _awkwardblonde on the Twitters. And you can mail us at batmania66mail@gmail.com. And you can see my pictures of Zaphod on Instagram at Cynic Prime if you want to see my beautiful little puppy. And that's going to do it for this week. We will see you next time. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Bye.